So thank you for your text that came in
Oh,
at the
yeah.
weekend. That was fabulous. Came in about midday on Sunday after church. Do you want to explain to the beloved listeners what happened?
Well, I was in church and we sing a variety of interesting hymns at times. And it said this, the one verse in this hymn had this. It said, "My flesh in hope shall rest and for a season slumber, till Trump from east to west shall wake the dead in number." And I thought, that man gets everywhere, really, doesn't he?
He does. And you said this is going to be the best waking of the dead ever. So many dead raised, make the dead great again. Love that.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 329 of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. My name is Nick Page, and there's Joe Davis.
Hello. It's great to be back with a mighty Trump.
Yes. From east to west. It's going to be so great. So many dead. Anyway, I don't think we have any church notices.
Well,
I
do have, you know, they always do a nice welcome at the start of services, or at least they used to.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we could.
I just feel like we should do a welcome because we've got the faithful 17, but you know, as they die, new people come in to the show, and so I want to welcome any newcomers.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, welcome. Yeah. If you're new here, do fill in one of our welcome forms, and obviously take a direct debit form home with you as well.
Yes, exactly. Nothing says welcome like give us your bank details.
No. Anyway, yes, welcome. Seriously, I know we get new listeners quite a lot, so it's nice. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, it is great. And welcome all you older beloved listeners, frankly. You're all welcome here.
Yes, and in fact, we're going to be talking about a very old episode yes, I'm going to spring this on you, actually.
That's news to me, thank you.
So there may be people here who can even remember it, which the interesting thing is you might remember it, but one of our hosts didn't. Anyway, we'll come on to that. How are you?
Well, I'm very good. I've seen my grandson.
Lovely.
This week. So that's just, the world's a beautiful place. I mean, it is fantastic. I know every grandfather thinks this, but he's just a little bundle of perfection and loveliness and cuddliness. He's a great kid. And all joking aside, I think it's just gives you a little glimmer of the divine love for us. You know, you think, if God loves me half as much as I love my grandson, that's a lot of love. I'll take that.
Yeah.
There's just something so wonderful. Anyway, I won't get all soppy, so let me stop now. I love this time of year. It's great. Flowers, everything. And the third reason to be cheerful, as Ian Dury would be proud of, is that I'm seeing you next week.
Yes.
So
yes.
What's not to love about this season of my life?
We are gathering to celebrate. Well, actually, I think it was designed to celebrate your birthday, wasn't it? This little trip.
It was, yes. My 60th. Yes, this is slightly delayed, but
but it's actually closer to my birthday, so I feel I should take over, really.
Well, I think you inevitably will. And frankly, we all look forward to it. So.
Good.
So that's great. I mean, you know, life is the normal Easter mix of the bleakness of Good Friday and the surprised by joy of Easter Sunday. Tomorrow I've got a very heavy funeral, a young 16-year-old lad who had a very rare cancer, and it's just awful, and there's going to be hundreds there, and I don't want to do it. But I pray and hope I will do a good job for the family. You know, there's all that stuff going on, isn't there, always? And I never want to make out life is more one extreme than the other, because it's always everything, it seems to me. So I'm okay with it. How about you, my friend? How are you doing?
As you say, we're meeting up next week. I booked my ticket. Gonna
Yay!
trust myself to the rail network, which is a
boo.
Talking of suffering and joy, it sort of embodies it embodies both things there. Yes, it's been beautiful weather, and that's really freezing.
Yeah, it's cold.
My apricots are freezing.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
So I'm a bit cold. And in a sign of just how purely inadequate this podcast is, it occurred to me after last week that the Pope had died and we never mentioned it.
No, we actually didn't mention that.
I mean, I'm not saying the world's media is hanging on our every word and waiting for us to acknowledge it, but
we didn't acknowledge it.
I thought it probably deserved a mention anyway. And of course, you've seen Conclave, so you know how it works now.
Yes, I do. I just hope none of the cardinals go out for a quiet vape behind the wall and people think, hey!
Hey! Yeah. And they suddenly have to rush through it and get one. Yes. Oh no, we've announced it. We better get one. Just everybody's name's in a hat. Anyway, yes, I'm fine. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm all right.
Great. So, now to the subject of feedback then. Let's just call it like it is. There was quite a bit of feedback, and I need to say a big thank you for it. Thanks to everyone who wrote in expressing thanks for the show, or indeed for your excellent article that you wrote, which I did read every part of and enjoyed very much indeed. Great stuff, but obviously we're obliged not to read out anything that encouraging on air.
No.
So that really did narrow down the feedback, because Nick hates praise almost as much as he hates criticism.
Well, I've noticed that it's been slipping recently, and that you've slipped in the beginning of feedback. You know, people say, oh, you know, love the show, and you've sort of...
Yeah,
I haven't edited it out.
Yeah, I tried to. Oh, I thought I was getting away with that. Clearly you had noticed. Yeah. Anyway.
I think I need to be stronger on that, really.
Okay, so beloved Anne from Oz said she wanted to say something about killing things. You remember I was saying last week about, you know, I don't know about killing things. She says, I have also curtailed my killing sprees. Now, she's got some insight. She said, not that I did it in the garden, not a gardener. Inside the house was fair game, though. We have giant cockroaches here, and they are the only things that I will kill after I've tried catching them in a jar and releasing them into the wild. She says, I actually think that the cockroaches are zombies. Even if you manage to smack them, they will always get up again. Stunned, they are easier to throw outside. Spiders, I will always release. They are helpful for reducing the mosquitoes. And then she says this, I was thinking that it might have something to do with getting closer to our end, and life is precious. Far more appreciative of it than I was in my 20s. What gives us the right to end someone or something else's? That's it, Anne. Mm. Geez, Anne. Thanks. Yeah.
Well, there might be something in that. I mean, heaven knows what they have to deal with in Australia. I mean, it's...
Yes.
The insects there were trying to kill you, aren't they?
I think they are.
Over the top. So I think it's a straight struggle for survival, really. But anyway.
It is. Thanks, Anne. Appreciate it. So now, I can't help noticing you've put matters arising into the running order without authorisation. So what's that all about?
Well, it was really an update from last week, because if you remember, I couldn't remember the name of the cauliflower that I referred to. And in fact, some people call it a broccoli, but yes, it's called the Romanesco cauliflower.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know it.
I've eaten it.
Oh, well, it's the one that looks like the kind of vegetable an alien would eat, basically. Yeah. Quite bright green and sort of conical. And the mathematical theory I was referring to is known as self-similarity.
Okay.
So self-similarity is when the whole is made up of smaller parts which look like the whole. So a fern would be another good example, where the shape of a fern leaf is made up of lots of little fern leaves,
all in the same kind
of shape.
Okay.
And that's what I was referring to. So, but actually, also, you see, I've had feedback myself.
You've had feedback?
Yes.
How very dare you? It's Joe at midfaithcrisis.org. We all know that.
I know. And in a way, I can't emphasise strongly enough the inadvisability of sending me an email.
Yeah, no, nor can I.
But anyway, I did have this from my website from Kathy. And she said this. She said, it's Kathy, brackets MFC fan. I've just started a Bible project class called The Joseph Story. I only managed the introductory session so far. Tim Mackey is using an alternative to your Fractals cauliflower image, which I think you'll also like. And she talks about it's one of those photo mosaic portraits. The one he's using apparently is of Louis Armstrong.
Oh, okay.
And so it's a portrait of Louis Armstrong made up of lots of little images of Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, it's nice. I like those.
And so she said, I thought it was another lovely way to understand more of the whole picture of the Bible, though maybe not quite as tasty. I think, frankly, more tasty than a cauliflower. But, you know, your mileage may vary on that. But I did like that. Like the idea of the Bible as being a whole story made up of small scenes, small composite stories that form one big picture.
Yeah, nice. Oh, well done, Kathy. And, you know, please use the correct channels in future, if I may rebuke you openly.
And then, actually, you had some matters arising, didn't you? Which is impressive for a man of your age, I think.
I wanted to commend you on the Nicene Creed article. Not only that, I received in the post a Christianity magazine, and it came with a letter saying, thank you for requesting your free copy of Christianity magazine, which I hadn't. But it was lovely to receive it. So thank you, Christianity Magazine. Oh. And there was your article, which I nearly read again before. I thought, no, that's going too far. But the line that I particularly love was when you were talking about one of the reasons it had come about, and you referred to theological substance abuse, which I thought was both clever and witty. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, well, because the joke works, I suppose, because the whole of it was about... That Greek phrase of one substance with the Father, and how you understand substance is just does your head in, really. To be honest, last week I couldn't remember much of the article, and so I sort of picked one or two things. I did think one of the things that came out of it for me was that you know, theology and creeds and things largely emerge from consensus. They don't emerge from somebody suddenly issuing a statement. You know, that's not how it works. And so actually the point I wanted to make in the article is really that you've got to talk to people. You know, when you're dealing with big differences and big difficulties, you have got to keep talking. And that's the only way it's ever going to be solved, really. And only time really solves it. Yeah. The other thing that I liked in it, you know, was that I talked about mystery in it, and how you know, the creeds don't really solve the how it's done. You know, for all their definite statements, it's still a mysterious thing. So I wrote in the article, I said, you know, basically perhaps the best the creed can do for us is make sure that we're all mystified in more or less the same way. You know, I think that ultimately that's all that can happen, really.
No, that's good. And that's what we've talked before, haven't we, about the apophatic tradition. And that's where that comes in, because the minute you say God is a father, then you have to say, yeah, but God is not really like a father. We're just using a metaphor. Or God is like a good shepherd. Well, yeah, but not actually a shepherd. And so you have that tradition of living with the tension of wanting to say something about a phenomena that is beyond words, and wanting to describe it and embrace it a bit, but always understanding that words are so limited and can never capture it.
Yeah.
And be careful you don't make an idol out of those words.
Yeah, absolutely. But I suppose it did get us thinking about creeds again. And, do you want to sort of take it up and talk about the exchange that we had about planning this week's show?
I thought it would be just fun to start thinking about our creeds. I remember us saying after we'd done our Gospels that maybe at some point in the future we should start thinking about what our creeds would be. So we were going to do that. Do you want to humiliate me now?
No, I don't want to humiliate you. It's because I was struggling. I was sure we'd done it. And so I did a quick search. And turns out, yes, we have in fact written creeds in the past.
No.
Yes, and now you can be forgiven, Joe, because it was episode 22.
That's years ago. That's year one.
Yeah, it was August 2017. And it was the episode after, I think, the infamous episode we recorded while away together in Scotland.
Oh, when we holidayed in Scotland. which we must never speak of again.
No, because I've actually listened to the episode, which is an alarming thing to do, can I tell you?
Oh, that's not fair.
No, it's really horrendous. Anyway, but I listened to it, and there is a sense in that episode of us thinking that probably after the Scotland episode, nobody's ever going to listen to us again. Yeah, you know,
we were convinced that was the death knell of the podcast, I believe.
Although I've heard since that some people love that. Anyway, but there's so many interesting things in it, in the sense that, you know, here we are talking about creeds now, and we're about to go away and meet with each other.
Yes.
You know, and there we were talking about it. We're almost doing everything in reverse. So I'm wondering whether your numbering last week going downwards again.
It's prophetic.
Yeah. The podcast has gone into reverse. We're actually sort of, we stretched the elastic so far, we're now pinging back, basically.
Oh, gosh.
But we did write our own creeds. And what I wondered, Joe, is if I... you probably can't remember them.
No.
I couldn't remember.
No, not at all.
And we hadn't... We didn't in those days put it on the website or anything like that. No. And so I've actually sort of transcribed them from the... From the podcast. And I thought it'd be interesting to read out what we'd written.
Oh, dear.
And see whether we still... agree with it. Now, I know, genuinely, listener, I am springing this on him, and he looks horrified.
This is bad. That was so many Joes ago.
It was, yeah, yeah. Well, don't you change completely your cells every 7 years or something?
Yeah, you got to have a whole new skeletal frame. How can we still be us after 7 years when everything has changed?
Yeah, so basically you're a whole new Joe.
Yes. A whole new Joe.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. But you still sing, sadly. Now, so I'm gonna read out my creed and then I'll read your creed, and we'll see if we still hold to them.
Okay.
So what we did was we wrote four sort of clauses, I think. Four statements, really.
Okay.
And yours had some add-on bits.
Of course it did.
So my four were this. We believe in God the Father, creator of all things, in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Saviour and teacher, and in the Holy Spirit. Brackets. It's a trinity. There's three in one, but don't ask me how it works.
Good.
I still think I probably hold to that one. Yeah.
Okay.
We believe in the community of believers because it's good for followers of Jesus to meet.
Nice.
We believe in loving forgiveness and new life now and in the future. And we live this life like Jesus.
Nice.
And finally, my final one was, we believe that the Bible is true, which is different to saying that it all happened.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
I think broadly speaking, I still hold to that.
It's not too embarrassing at all.
No, I think actually it's not bad. And funny, another funny little coincidence was that in the podcast, I mentioned that I'd got the framework from this, from a thing called the Epistolorum Apostolorum, which I mentioned a couple of weeks ago in the Easter episode.
Did you?
Literally, I've mentioned that twice in the past 7 years.
This is all very strange. Yes, I do remember now.
Yeah. The Epistolorum Apostolorum talks about the bread, you know, the loaves and the fish. Yeah. And it has this symbol. It says the loaves are the symbols of our faith. The five loaves are God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The church is the fourth loaf. Mm. And the fifth loaf is forgiveness. Uh-oh. And those, it sees, are the basics of Christian faith, which I quite like that.
Yeah, I do. Yes, it's all right.
I mean, Epistolorum Apostolorum does sound like the Belgian entry to the Eurovision Song Contest to me. That's the only thing.
It does a little bit.
It's a sort of Epistolorum Apostolorum, ding ding and dang dong.
And you're still singing.
Yes. So those were my four, which I think, okay, these are yours.
Oh, dear. I'm not looking forward to this.
Okay, here we go. Your first one was, we believe just because we sing it doesn't make it okay to lie to God. I can only feel that you were still slightly raw from the whole church experience.
Do you know what? Back then I was still hurting. I apologise. I'm a bit more gracious now.
So I don't think now you would go in with that as number one.
No, I wouldn't. I think it's okay to lie to God in song from time to time, so long as you're doing it consciously and not unconsciously.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was your first one. So your second one was this. It says, we believe God is love and that God loves all people, including me and including you, really.
Good. Yeah, no, I would certainly lead with that one in the future rather than the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did follow it up with a lot of explanatory...
Yeah. Terms and conditions, yeah.
Well, one of the things I noticed about us back then is we were a lot more argumentative.
What's happened?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we've grown to be more like each other. It's slightly alarming, really.
You do become like your pets.
So, look, here's your third one, and we're moving more into sort of what I would call classic Joe territory here.
Okay.
We believe we can work in partnership with the divine energy at work in the universe.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I still like that. Do you not go with that one?
No, I do. I think at the time and in the episode, I had a real go at you about it being Californian wiffle.
Yeah, of course you did. Well, you see, that's my substitute for your one, for Father, Son and Holy Spirit. I mean, I think even that is a metaphor. You know, to talk about the how God is sort of embraces community, comes in many ways to us, because God is, or the divine is, everywhere and in all things and in me, so, and in you. So if we have a conversation, we can learn something about God from each other, and God is in the insects and in the birds. So if we study the insects and the birds, we can learn something about God, or in the sea, or et cetera, et cetera. The divine energy in the universe. Maybe I'll find a better way of saying it, but that's how I said it back then. That's okay. That's not as bad as I feared.
Well, it's interesting because I think you had a real go at me in the episode about the God the Father thing, the gender.
Oh, yeah, I would have done.
The genderization. Yeah, oh, yeah, you had it. It gave me a real kicking about over that. Really, in a loving way, but you know.
Yeah, but the world doesn't need more patriarchy. That's all I'm saying, does it, really? If that was going to solve the world's problems, it would have done it by now. So maybe it's time to rest the male god and have at least a female god, or, you know, kind of them-they scenario, which I prefer.
You're sounding very much like you were 7 years ago, there, 8 years
it's
ago.
It's still all in there.
It's not gone away, has it? But can I read out what you said about your sort of sub clauses on the divine energy?
Okay, go on
then.
What
you think of these? Because this is here's how you sort of went on. You said we can choose to work in partnership with the divine energy, or we can choose to work against it. But the divine woos us into a life within the kingdom of God. Mm. We believe we are all immigrants on the planet, charged by the divine with responsibility to give love, dignity, and respect to ourselves, one another, and all things on this beautiful living planet.
Well, I mean, it might be a better way of saying that.
One too many planets, I feel, certainly.
It is quite roughly, and it is said with a certain against energy, I think.
That's interesting.
Against the creeds,
yes.
A bit. And maybe I'd word it slightly. But I still get the heart. I mean, I still firmly believe the heart of that. I think you can work in harmony with the universe, or you can work against it. And my belief is that God is love, and love is what runs the show round here. So you want to live well and you want to live in harmony, you live in love. I mean, I don't always do it, but that's the goal.
What do you think you meant by immigrants on the planet?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Because I don't know if you'd say that now.
No, I don't think I would use that word. I suppose maybe I'd say stewards, maybe just, you know, overseers. You know, that sense that we do have a purpose in this life. You know, it's such a gift to be alive. I mean, we've talked about this endlessly, haven't we? I think I did it in my Christmas sermon. You know, the chances of us existing are trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions to one. So the gift of life is so extraordinary. And why are we here? Well, be good stewards of it. You know, love this world, love the people in it, love the animals in it, love the creatures of it, just, you know, everything. I think what I find about the traditional words of the creed is it's too tribal. It's very much Christianity's creed. And the implicit nature of that is, and everyone else is wrong because we've got the truth and nobody else has. And now I think what this world needs is something that binds us all together. you know, I want a creedal statement that is not lifting me up above other people, that it, but is actually seeing everybody as sacred as one another.
Mm.
And I think I would like, do you know what I loved about your five loaves thing, that forgiveness? I think that somewhere in the creeds, there needs to be more about forgiveness.
Yeah.
Somehow. Forgiveness of self, forgiveness of others, forgiveness of, you know, that's, that is, I love that that's such a central thing for the early Christians, for their epistolorum, apostolorum, whatever it was.
Ding, ding, a dang, dong.
Ding, dang, a dang, dong. They actually, you know, put forgiveness in there. And maybe I'd, you know, put that back on the agenda for a start.
Well, again, funnily enough, we did talk about this way back when. You said almost exactly that. We're linking forgiveness with resurrection, because I think when I came up with my four, I couldn't decide what the fifth bit should be. Should it be about forgiveness? Should it be about resurrection? And I think I sort of tried to combine it into sort of, you know, forgiveness and new life, now and in the future. So bringing the two together, because, you know, every act of forgiveness is an act of resurrection to a certain extent, you know, in some way.
Yeah.
It's bringing something back to life, a relationship, a future.
Yeah. Forgiveness is so powerful and so central to the Christian message.
Yes.
And I do think that's the call of us to bring forgiveness. It's just like can I just mention Trump for a minute? I don't really like to, but.
Well, we've already referred to him.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, you just feel like sometimes every time he opens his mouth, he's living from his trauma of his past. His dad was a psychopath. He treated him absolutely horribly. Now, I'm not defending him or his policies. Of course I'm not, which generally I hate. But I'm wanting us to understand that I think it's my role as a Christian to not hate Trump.
Mm.
I really do think that. Hate doesn't solve the world's problems. And all I'm saying is that I want to be the person that can look at someone like him and look past the behaviour on the outside to see the really hurt and broken child, which he often reverts back to, I think. You see it played out even in the Oval Office with Zelensky. He's got to be the biggest man in the room. He's got to be because, you know, his brother drunk himself to death. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, so that's that was his brother's response to his father's treatment of him. And Trump's response is to be the big bully boy. You know, it's the only way he feels safe in the world. I think he said in an autobiography, you know, he said, his map of the world is everyone's out to get you. They're out to take your wife. They're out to take your property. They're out to steal your money. And so a reaction to that is, I'm going to get to you before you get to me. You become the aggressor. And that's what he's done. And all I'm saying, the only reason I'm saying that is it takes some group of people, and let's just call them the Christians, if you like, to say we're not playing in this reactionary pattern anymore. You put a post up, I hate you, you're an idiot. You know, we're the ones who stop that and look past the behaviour and see the hurt and the brokenness and find ways of reconciliation and, you know, living forgiveness out. Because that's the only hope for the world, isn't it? I don't know. I can't think of anything better. I mean, the other alternative is kill everyone who doesn't agree with you, I guess. You know, the myth of redemptive violence and all that stuff.
I think that you used a phrase earlier which sort of sums up the two ways, really. And you said that, you know, some of your phraseology from back then was characterised by a certain against energy.
Yes.
And I think that's a great phrase. You know, I think the world is fueled by this against energy.
Yeah.
You know, and people, you want to do that. I've often said, you know, one of my heroes, George MacDonald, refused to be called a Protestant because he didn't want to be defined by being against something.
Yeah.
You know, protest against things wasn't what he was about. And I think you're right. I think creeds perhaps should have a little bit more in about what brings us together. Perhaps.
Yeah, a bit more broadly, and a bit less against.
More broadly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they are about what brings us together, but they can be quite narrow, you know, in that. And I mean, I think, you know, what you were trying to do there in that clause was broaden it out and look at the planet and the environment, which gets a sort of nod in the creed. You know, we believe in God who created all things. But that's about it. And understandably, because in the time the creeds were formulated, environmental issues weren't a thing.
No.
You know, you lived as part of the environment naturally because you didn't have any choice.
No, well, I mean, this goes on to the subject of a future episode that I want to talk to you about, because I want to talk to you about the Reformation and why I think we need a Reformation now. Christianity urgently needs a Reformation before it ostensibly dies. But that's a, you know, another episode.
Okay, interesting.
Go on, ring me the fourth one, go on.
Yeah, no, I will. I'm going to read you your fourth one now. This, I know you still cleave to this one very strongly.
And has it got cheese in it?
It hasn't got cheese in it, but perhaps you could replace the first one about songs with cheese.
Yeah.
With some kind of cheese. Some kind of cheese creed. Anyway, here was your final one from way back when. It says, "We believe the world would be a better place if we could all learn to be kind to ourselves and to one another."
Great. Amen, brother. Preach it.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because as you were talking earlier, I was thinking, well, he's just saying exactly what he said 8 years ago. He doesn't remember saying it, but he's doing it. He's summing it all up. He's saying about how we've got to live less in opposition, less against energy, and more, you know, thinking the best of people and trying to understand and not hating.
Yeah.
And there you go. 8 years ago, you said exactly the same thing.
Well, there you go. Kindness is the only way forward. And why does kindness move us so much? Why does grace move us? When someone should be angry and they choose to forgive, I'm talking about scenes in Ted Lasso here. I hope you've watched it all by now. Don't even answer that, because I can see it's going to make me angry. Well, look, kindness has to be the way forward, because it is kindness that reveals the character and nature of the divine.
Mm.
Fundamental belief here. God is kind. And yes, back to that whole 1 Corinthians 13 thing about, you know, in that whole list of what love isn't, the two things that love is patient and kind.
See, I wonder if we'd be better off talking more about kindness and less about love.
Yes.
In a way.
Yes. I think we should. Love can mean so many things.
It's rather abstract at times. And as you say, it can get confused about romantic love and all the other kinds.
Yeah.
But kindness is something that I think is absolutely humane and real to people.
Yeah.
We understand what it is to be kind to one another.
Yeah.
And kindness is a kind of very ordinary, mundane kind of love.
Yeah, it can be. Or it can be quite extraordinary. It just depends
That's
on
true.
The context. But what I do think is, if you're wondering whether someone loves you or not, ask yourself, are they being patient with you and are they being kind to you? And if you can answer yes to both of those, there's a good chance they love you. And, of course, the opposite is also true. You know, if they're not being patient and kind in that moment, they're not being very loving, because the actual nature of love is patience and kindness.
Yeah, I suppose if they're being impatient and unkind, it may be because they've done 8 years of podcasting with you and
exactly.
And really got to the point where you can't actually remember the first episodes.
Yeah, I definitely can't. I did not know about that at all.
Listen, we should finish up, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening, especially if you could listened as far back as episode 22 and you're still with us. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that is extraordinary. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you for being with us. We do apologise if it's... I don't know what this podcast is going to sound like, to be honest. We've had enormous technical difficulties and delays doing it. So I hope it's going to be okay. Yeah. If it's not, well... It's got to be better than episode 21, which was the Scotland one.
Okay.
Let's
never speak of that episode
anyway,
again.
Anyway, next week we are going to be... Well, we're going to try and record sort of live in a way. We're not live, but in person together.
Yes.
Somewhere in Suffolk. I don't know quite where, but we'll find somewhere.
Near a nuclear reactor.
Oh, what could possibly go wrong? And so we'll be back with you next week. Thank you very much for listening, as I said. Thank you for recommending the podcast. Thank you to those who support us. That's fantastic. And we will see you next week. And Joe, do you have anything to pray us out with?
So this is a blessing for the unloved within. May you know in the quiet places where self-doubt lingers that you are held in a love deeper than you can imagine. When you cannot find a reason to love yourself, may you rest in the truth that God already does, completely endlessly without condition or hesitation. You are not forgotten. You are not a mistake. You are not the names shame has called you. You are beloved, even when you cannot feel it, even when you cannot say it. May the voice of love rise above the noise in your mind, whispering, you are mine, you are enough, you are precious. And until you can see your own beauty again, may God lend you eyes, merciful, patient and kind, to behold yourself the way heaven does. You are deeply, irrevocably loved.